Ramsey TV.
I have a special message for you today. This is a bit of a departure from Romans chapter 9, but it still has to do with the book of Romans, but it involves truth that is so monumentally radical, so big, that nothing in Israel suggested it. What I'm going to tell you today is going to seal for anybody who isn't yet convinced that in the Greek scriptures, in the so-called New Testament, there are two separate messages, one for Israel, one for the nations. And this truth, it revolves around and is centered on Jesus Christ as a representative human being. That sounds maybe simple to you now. Some of you who are tuning in, never heard this show before, might not have ever heard of that term, a new humanity, or that Jesus Christ was a representative man. He was a representative man for the entire race of human beings. Nothing in Israel suggested this, that one man would stand for the entire race, because you have to remember, in Israel, God chose one nation to reveal himself to, and he revealed himself to that nation in increments. He set forth a law that if it was obeyed, if it was followed, then blessings would ensue. If it was not, then curses would ensue. It was meant by God. You have to feel sorry for Israel on this point. It was meant by God as a demonstration to all humanity, once the scriptures were recorded and the rest of the world could see the lesson, that no flesh at all can boast in God's presence, because flesh and blood is not able to do the things of God. But God called this nation and pretty much ignored all the other nations. It started with Abraham, who was the patriarch. God promised him that his seed would be as the stars of the sky, the sand of the sea, and that his people, his descendants, would be the head of a kingdom on the earth. But this practical demonstration had to be made for future reference, that humans are unable to accomplish what they want to do for God. And this was designed to highlight the activity of God. I've told you many times, maybe not enough, the scriptures are a revelation of God in Christ. It's not a recipe book for how to behave yourself. It's not a book you look to how to be good. This is a revelation of God in Christ. So the whole thing is a setup to reveal the power and the ability, the glory of God and Christ. And if it requires a 6,000-year, quote, experiment, unquote, not an experiment to God, to show through an elaborate system of laws, if it takes that to show that humanity is unable, then that's what it takes. That's what God decided to do. So that lesson went along for a few thousand years, and Israel looked forward to what they called a Messiah, a chosen one, a deliverer. And they probably didn't even know what he was about. It was suggested in the whole tabernacle system with the sacrifice of the animals for sins. Humanity was made known early on, starting in the Garden of Eden, that sin was a bad thing, and that sin separated people from God, and sin was a tragedy, and that if you disobeyed God, there were dire consequences. When Adam disobeyed God, Adam and Eve, the dire consequences, the most immediate ones, were God cursed the ground, Eve would have pain in childbearing, and this nasty thing called death began operating, and death was the ultimate bad news. Not eternal torment, but death. Death was a separation from God. So you live your whole life looking forward to oblivion, not existing anymore. But God presented a promise to, beginning with Adam and Eve. Of course, her descendant would eventually bruise the head of Satan, and that was Jesus Christ. So all along now, as God begins to call Abraham, we first find out in Genesis that sin is bad. Then God calls Abraham, brings out this nation out of Abraham called Israel. And they look forward to this one who will deliver them. So the idea is planted into the heads of the Israelites through this whole system that we can look in on and learn about God and read about. This idea is put forward that you can't do it on your own. Kind of like the 12-step program. If you're addicted to drugs or any kind of, if you have any kind of problem, eating disorder or whatever, you have this 12-step program. The first step is admitting that you're helpless, You can't do it, and you need an outside power. That's a worldly thing. I mean, the world came up with a 12-step program. Higher power, you know, that's not a so-called Christian message. And yet the Christian message still hasn't come to that because they don't need a higher power. They exercise their free will. Don't want to get into that sidetrack. But it's this thought that there's going to be another one that's going to have to pull you out of the mire. Nobody's pulling anybody up by their own bootstraps or other people's bootstraps. Yeah, attached to theirs, whatever. No, that's not going to happen. And that is made evident for centuries with Israel. So finally, the Messiah arrives, and he's the one that they are to pin their hopes on because he is going to bring them into the kingdom. Of course, we know how that went. They rejected him. It was all by design, because God had this amazing, unexpected, undreamed of, unprophesied of revelation that he was hiding from the eons. What I'm about to tell you was a secret that was hidden all during Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all the Old Testament, even the coming of Christ. He's choosing his disciples, even goes to the cross, and he dies. The secret is still hidden. Because as God presented himself to the world through Israel, the only way that the nations would get blessing, which was a good thing, is if they associate themselves with Israel. When Israel comes into the kingdom, then the nations will come under a righteous government. And so the hope of the nations was to be subservient to a tribe of people, consisting of 12 tribes of people, that would rule the earth in righteousness and goodness and blessing and plenty. Two cars in every garage, that type of thing. But God, the whole time, this is whole thing is going on. I call it a thing. Let's review. Knowledge of sin. Knowledge that sin keeps you from attaining God, the sin will eventually cause you to die, known as death, from which you will not awake. Life sucks, then you die. That was the revelation for a while. Now we have a people called Israel, and now there's a promise of resurrection. Now there's a hint of resurrection, but of course you have to follow the rules. Well, you can't follow the rules, but we're going to cover it up for a while. Every year, we're going to cover the sins of this one people, Israel. And really, all the nations should have been like looking, like seated in an auditorium, looking down on Israel, because their fortunes at that time were to lie with Israel. And if that nation had to come through, or they weren't going to come through. And I don't even think, though, a man or woman of the nations, how terrible would it have been to be born during this era where you had no promise of life? There was no promise of resurrection to you. God's scriptures were revealed through and to one people, Israel. Think of that. Think of that. You could have been born during that time, could have been, quotation marks there, but you weren't. God wanted you born now so that you could come into this most amazing revelation that was saved by God, that I'm going to tell you about now. And that is that Jesus Christ had a dual purpose while he was on earth. He was not only the one that Israel was looking for to bring them out of the mire, to pull them up, to bring them into the kingdom, to eventually put the law in their hearts, his blood shed for them, the ultimate lamb, right? The ultimate lamb. They covered it up. God said, "We'll cover up your sins. The reason you're not going to die and stay dead for eternity is because even before the coming of Christ, I'm going to cover your sins. I'm going to cover it once a year. The priest is going to take care of it. I'm going to cover your sins. And as long as you participate here, then your sins are covered and there is a resurrection from among the dead. There is a resurrection. What was not known until after Jesus Christ had died, had been crucified, died, entombed, and raised from the dead, it was not known that not only was he the sacrifice for Israel, but he was a representative man. That is, you will not find that anywhere in Israel, that he would represent the human race. Remember, the rest of humanity besides Israelites, they were not in on anything that God did, starting with Abraham. So you think, oh, God called Abraham. That's great progress. Actually, God calls Abraham, and this is the whole thing narrows down. The whole plan narrows down to one nation. Everybody else is pretty much screwed. You basically live your life, try to do good, take care of the wife and kids, get a job, have more kids, and then you die. Lights out. And those people who died back then, their lights are still out. But what they didn't know, that we do know, which should make you feel amazingly blessed and special, what they didn't know was that centuries later, after their death, there would be a man who would be called the Savior of Israel, the Messiah of Israel, and he was, but he would also be something else that would guarantee that every human being that ever lived would be with God and Christ for eternity. Jesus Christ, a dual role, the Messiah of Israel, yes, but a representative man who answered to Adam. This is the shock in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old humanity, Paul says, was crucified together with him, that the body of sin may be nullified. The point here is old humanity crucified. Radical words. Old humanity, the human race. Everybody's used to hearing Israel, Israel, Israel this, Israel that. Solomon this, Solomon that, King David this, King David that. Nobody dreamed of a plan that would include all humanity and that would not require the participation of each individual person, as though each individual person were to march up to a podium, make a speech, or like a spelling bee, and if you get it right, you're in. If you get it wrong, you're out. Each individual, come up. No, there's a representative man. And see, but there was a hint of this in Adam, but nobody knew it. Every single human being, I don't care who mocks this truth or what, every single human being came from one human being. That's Adam. The whole race was latent in Adam, just as oak tree is latent in the little seed, the little tiny seed. The whole race came from that man. Every single person. And now Paul reveals to us in places like Romans 5, verse 18 and 19, as it was through one offense for all mankind for condemnation, thus also it is one through one just award, that is one righteous act for all mankind for life's justifying. One sin, one righteous act. Verse 19, Romans 5, for even as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were constituted sinners, thus also through the obedience of the one, the many, the same many who are condemned, shall be constituted just. Parallel passage. I know many of you have heard this before. I have new viewers all the time, but doesn't it feel good to listen to this again? Isn't it amazing that we have this revelation, 1 Corinthians 15, 22-23, as an Adam, all are dying. Verse 21 through 23, as an Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, that is, made alive beyond the reach of death. This secret that one man would be the Savior of all humanity, that would represent everyone, just as Adam represented everyone, brought everyone into death. Adam represented everyone, brought everybody into death. Christ represents the same everyone and brings everyone eventually into life. This fact, this truth, that nobody could have guessed, that there's not a hint of in, not even when Adam was around in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, not even a hint of it then. Not even a hint of it then, really. Just a strange fact that everybody came through one guy. That was the weird thing. We forget that. We take that for granted. Everybody came through one guy. Ooh. If you had a little bit of an insight then, you maybe could have, you would have needed a ton of insight that didn't exist then. No, you wouldn't have known that, ooh, I wonder if sometime in the future, another man is going to represent everybody. This guy screwed everybody up before him and his wife even had a kid. The whole race was damned and doomed because sin caused death to operate in them. Huh, I wonder if like, say, a few thousand years from now, 4,000 years from now, I wonder if another man, kind of like this one, in that he represents everybody, I wonder if he'll pull everybody out. And I wonder if Israel, the whole system of Israel, and the tabernacle system was an example of how that would work. That there's a high priest, one guy, focus on the word one. One guy goes into the Holy of Holies, takes care of sin for a year. It's symbolic. It doesn't really take care of it, but it's a promise of something to come. One guy. Now, everybody's looking to what? For what? A Messiah. One guy. They're looking for one guy. One guy. Nobody went back and said, Adam was one guy too. Nobody did that. You and I do that. But nobody else knew how to do it, knew that you could do it, knew that it was just way beyond the reach of anyone. Nobody could have intellectually or spiritually done anything to get this truth until it was revealed that one man would pull everybody out of it. That truth was revealed to the Apostle Paul in a gospel called the Gospel of the Grace of God, the Transcendent Grace of God. And it's not each individual person lining up and showing what they can do. It's the fact that each individual person who came from Adam is also associated with what Paul calls the last Adam. There's a phrase that nobody ever heard until Paul said, the last Adam? What's the last Adam? It's the last human being that would ever be needed. And every human being, again, that came into existence through Adam, the first Adam, is rescued by the last Adam. That means there's not a need for another Adam. Humanity is wrapped up, the fortunes of humanity are wrapped up in two individuals, Adam and Christ. If you're condemned in Adam, and you are, then you are guaranteed to, at the end of the eons, be justified in Christ.